NPR.
This is the Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Cardiff Garcia.
And I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. And today's indicator is 30,000. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is edging very close to an all-time high and a groundbreaking number, 30,000, which is nuts because it took the Dow more than 100 years to get to 10,000 and nearly 20 years to get from 10,000 to 20,000. And then it took just 3 years to get from 20,000 to nearly 30,000.
The power of compound interest. Love it. Now, normally, we kind of ignore the stock market on our show, but 30,000 is undeniably a milestone, and the speed with which we got there has a lot of people worried now because it seems like a really fast rise. And so it raises the question, are the markets too hot? Is the market overvalued? Are we primed for a fall? Or are the markets going to keep on rising? Now, yesterday, Stacey and I debated that question. But today, we are taking more of a practical approach to these high-flying markets.
Namely, what do you do at a time like this? Like, if you own stock, should you sell it? Because, you know, it seems like the markets are so high and they could be due for a fall. Should you buy stock now because things have been so strong for so long? Or is that a bad idea because so many people are saying the markets can't keep this up? But also, people have been saying the markets can't keep this up for years, and the markets have kept climbing, and what if you're too skittish and you miss out on all this money, and then you have to keep working until you're, like, 85?
I'm shutting this down. Stacey, you gotta chill.
That is very true. I definitely need to chill. Also, you have a meditation bell, Cardiff Garcia.
I had a feeling we might need it for this show. No, I have a meditation bell in part because of our conversation with money manager and market researcher Michael Batnick. He's with Ritholtz Wealth Management, and he just wrote an article in Barron's magazine where he says that basically investors need to get in touch with that ancient spiritual practice of non-doing.
Yes. In fairness, he didn't actually use all the Buddhist stuff, but we extrapolated.
Or an actual bell. Like, that's
or a
us.
Bell. Yeah. But, you know, he said, like, to survive these crazy markets and this crazy news cycle, you need to center, you know? You need to channel your inner Buddhist or your inner sociopath. Buddhists, sociopaths, masters of the modern markets.
Yeah, they seem like strange bedfellows, but let's face it, these are pretty strange times.
They are pretty strange times.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Personal Capital, offering online financial tools to give you a 360-degree view of all your accounts. Want to talk? Their registered advisors can help you build a personalized plan. Learn more at personalcapital.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Salesforce, a customer relationship management solution committed to helping you deliver the personalized experiences that customers want. Salesforce, bringing companies and customers together. Visit salesforce.com/learn more.
Michael Batnick works at Ritholtz Wealth Management, and he came in to talk with us about something he calls the wall of worry.
The wall of worry.
Is that a term people use, by the way?
It is a term that people use.
Wall of worry?
People in the industry, like normal people, you would never, ever hear your friend say, how about that wall of worry? That would be very weird. You know what? So the old adage is, and I don't know who coined this, the stock market climbs a wall of worry.
Maybe his friends don't refer to the wall of worry.
Cardiff, you're just going to all the right parties is what's happening here. Basically, the wall of worry refers to the stock market's ability to keep on rising in the face of bad news. Michael started thinking about the wall of worry a few years ago after a bunch of big time investors had been saying, you know, the market is just about to crash. And then all this stuff happened that seemed like it would kind of back that up. And then, you know, the market just climbed and climbed and climbed.
Yeah, past Brexit, past the trade war with China.
Past the Dow dropping more than 1,000 points in a day. Past the government shutdown.
Past the yield curve inverting.
Ooh, that was a big one.
Yeah.
That was a big one for us.
Yeah, and for listeners who haven't been obsessed with our show, that's a recession predictor linked to the bond market. So yeah, there have been times when people have freaked out a little bit.
Not to mention all the kind of weird fall of Rome type stuff that Michael says you often see before a crash. You know, like right before the housing market crashed, everybody was buying second homes and flipping houses.
Yeah, Michael refers to this stuff as toppy, like top of the market. Things are primed for a fall type stuff.
Even like, this is sort of silly, but Mike Tyson was repping a brokerage firm. Or Milas Kunis getting into the stock market.
CNBC caught up with Mila Kunis at an event last night and asked where she is putting her money.
I've just started investing in stocks, which is new for me because I'm a big, like, I'm an advocate of, like, put things in the bank.
That was the toppiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. That was 2013.
It sounds like a backlash against the sort of sarcasm that you often come across when, like, something that sounds crazy happens and everyone was like, this is it. It can't possibly keep going up. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. We're about to experience a collapse.
Right,
and you're saying
no.
I don't want to come across as like sort of all-knowing or like holier than thou because I don't know. All of these reasons to sell were legitimate. Tony Robbins as a financial advisor? Are you kidding me?
Like, it does seem like it's time to sell.
Right? Like,
and leave the country.
Probably leave the country. And Michael thought, like, what is going on here? How can all this stuff happen and the markets just keep marching up?
Then Michael had this revelation that there was actually way more good news happening. We just weren't hearing as much about it.
Good news does not go in the newspaper because progress is very, very gradual.
Michael says the world and the country have made these massive strides. Things have gotten better in all kinds of ways. But in a lot of cases, these changes have happened over years and years, so we don't necessarily notice them. Infant mortality has dropped globally. There have been amazing advances in medicine and technology that have improved the lives of millions of people. Here in the U.S., unemployment is at record lows, poverty rates are down, households have gotten wealthier, businesses are thriving.
But Michael says we tend to be laser-focused on the bad news and the bad indicators happening in the country and throughout the world because that's what we hear about all day, every day.
There's so much political noise and, like, a huge divide within the country, like it's you could cut it with a knife. But across the globe, things are getting significantly better. They just don't affect us on a day-to-day basis, so we don't see it.
Michael says this also holds true in the world of financial news. So conventional wisdom in investment is that you, quote, buy and hold. That is, you buy stocks or bonds and you just hold on to them. You don't try to buy or sell when you think the market's about to go up or down. You just buy and hold.
And statistically speaking, investors who follow this advice tend to do better than investors who try to predict what's going to happen in the market and move their money around all the time, buying and selling with a lot of frequency.
But, Michael says, just like incremental improvements in medicine or the job market or household income are not going to make the front page, financial advisors and gurus are not going to get into the news by saying, buy and hold. They get into the news by saying, you know, like the end is near, sell, 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 disaster on the horizon.
If they're wrong, big deal. People forget. And they're still invited back on TV or podcast to talk about their bearish views because it sells. It's attention grabby. And if they're right, and eventually they will be, then they're like a prophet.
Then Adam McKay makes a movie about them.
Exactly.
So if you're hearing all these warnings all the time and the markets have already climbed so much, the news is just crazy, well, it can start to feel like we're due for a fall. And you're just supposed to sit there?
Here's the thing. What do you do with this information and your gut? Like, do you short stocks? Do you go to cash? Do you put off your retirement? Like, who would say this? Listen, stocks are overvalued by 50%, but don't worry about it.
Well, you want to take an action, right? It's like you hear information. It's like, well, things are probably going to get a little worse. It's like, well, what should I do? It's
exactly.
Like, nothing.
Well, these people.
That's hard as a human, you know?
We feel the urge to do something, myself included mentally. I don't do anything, but every time we fall 5%, I'm human. I think we're going to fall 30%. So it's just, it's very hard to control your emotions. I think that's also what it is to be a human being for everyone. I think you have to be a sociopath to behave otherwise. Like, how many...
I bet sociopaths are great investors. Don't you
think? Well, there actually was a study done on them. Like, they don't have the same emotional reaction, so they have tended to, like, stay the course and not get freaked out.
So, there you have it. Timeless investing advice for these crazy times. Channel your inner sociopath.
Yes, that's probably advice you've never heard before. Or, you know, channel your inner Buddhist.
One more time, I think.
One more time. Bring on the bell. Seriously, though, if one of the Kardashians becomes a financial advisor, I am selling everything.
No.
And moving.
No.
To Canada.
You'll just hear this all the time. I'll stop you.
You just can't find a bit. We're going to need a bigger bell. Today's episode of The Indicator was produced by Lena Sanzgiri, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin, edited by Patty Hirsch, and The Indicator is a production of NPR.